Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to thee, dear Lord, to give you praise and thanks, O Lord. We praise you, Lord, because you are God now and forever. The God of the Sabbath, as we close, Lord, we are going to study in the book of the 2 Kings, chapter 22, where we need your guidance, O Lord. We need your wisdom, we need your knowledge and understanding. As we continue to study your word, may you help us to understand and help us, O Lord, to commune with you and to lean on you, Lord. And may we all be blessed, and may we all be according to your will. And thank you so much, Lord, for hearing and answering all of our prayers. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, just a second. We can, it's how many of us? 2, 3.
Six.
Are we six? Six.
Three.
Two Kings. Mm. Second Kings chapter 22. Yeah. We can read six of us.
Only 20 verses.
Yeah, only 20 verses. We can read 3 verses each.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Josiah the reign in Judah, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm. 3 verses each.
Yes.
Okay, shall I start?
Yes, please.
The reading is based on Chronicles, that 2 Chronicles 34, 1 and 2 to start off with. But it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah and Bophrah. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walk in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the house of the Lord, saying, verse 4,
go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, as in account to the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work, to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and wood to repair the house. Verse 7.
Seven to nine, please.
Okay, I'll read. Be a good, honest man, and don't need to keep a special account for me of every last penny they spend. That same day, Hilkiah, the high priest, told Shaphan, the royal secretary, that he had found a copy of Book of the Law written by Moses buried in the debris of the temple. He gave it to Shaphan to read for himself. Shaphan read parts of it and got so excited, he decided to take it to the king. Hilkiah said, wait. Tell the king that his servant has emptied the chest of money the priest collected and has given it to the workers and supervisors at the temple for wages and materials as he requested. 10?
10 to 12.
Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the prophet Ahikam and the son of Shaphan, Akbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah his servant of the king, saying, 13?
13 to 15, please.
Go and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of the book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Akbor, Shaphan, and Azariah went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter.
Until 15. Alma, did you read? Is it?
I read already one.
Sorry, say that again, Noelle.
I read once already. I don't have anybody else to read.
No one else.
I don't have anything
to read. I'll read. Did you finish the 15, Alma?
Okay, she said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me." 16.
Okay, I'll read. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I speak against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thy eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again.
Amen.
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 Do you have some reference with you, Noelle, before I'm going to read?
Well, there is a reference, the first. Before it even started, it gave 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1 and 2, which I look at.
Mm.
And it's quite interesting, if you want to look at this. It's straight after King, actually. Mm. 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1 and 2. And it says, except that I read a little bit more to make sense. It's about Josiah. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He didn't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. So that's very similar. She said, for in the 8 years of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12 years, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, the wooden images, carved images, and the molded images. So like at 18 years old, he was already set to destroy Baal. They broke down the altars of Baal, and in his presence and the incense altar which were above them, he cut down, and the wooden images and the carved images and the molded images he broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered them on the grave of those who sacrificed to them. So that's interesting.
I think there are a few occasions in the Book of Kings whenever the king mentioned, and the mother was also mentioned, the son of the mother of whenever the king, so it was also mentioned. I think it's also like, because the mother was the one who's bringing the child, yeah? I mean, if the mother worship God, then the son or the child also worshiping the God, because it says here that Hosea was doing the right thing, in the sight of the Lord.
Like genealogy.
Yeah.
And it's very significant for them. Like, the mother is the daughter of so-and-so, so-and-so. Mm-hmm. So it's like the father, the grandfather, the grandmother.
There is a connection in the line of David.
Yeah.
And David worshiped God.
And spirituality, which is very interesting.
Yeah. I'm just going to start reading the daughters of God in I don't have the pages because I have the app, the Ellen G. White app. So this is the daughters of God in the book of daughters of God in the sight of Huldah the prophetess. Josiah, from his earliest manhood, had endeavored to take advantage of his position as king to exalt the principles of God's holy law. And now, while Shaphan, the scribe, was reading to him out of the book of the law, the king discerned in this volume a treasure of knowledge, a powerful ally in the work of reform he so much desired to see wrought in the land. He resolved to walk in the light of its counsels and also to do all in his power to acquaint his people with its teaching and to lead them, if possible, to cultivate reverence and love for the law of heaven. But was it possible to bring about the needed reform? Israel had almost reached the limit of divine forbearance. Soon, God would arise to punish those who had brought dishonor upon his name. Already, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people. Overwhelmed with sorrow and dismay, Josiah rent his garments and bowed before God in agony of spirit, seeking pardon for the sins of an impenitent nation. At the time, the prophetess Huldah was living in Jerusalem near the temple. The mind of the king, filled with anxious foreboding, reverted to her, and he determined to inquire of the Lord through this chosen messenger to learn, if possible, whether by any means within his power he might save Erring Judah, now on verge of ruin. The gravity of the situation and the respect in which he held the prophetess lead him to choose as his messenger to her the first man of the kingdom. Yes, yes. Go on.
Sorry, I've cut you. When Bogdan was doing one afternoon program, he did Josiah. You were saying from Josiah's action, Daniel was little also, and this is what stemmed Daniel's faith from what he did, from applying the book of the law. Daniel and his companion. They were young then at the time. I don't know, I didn't write the reference down, but he said it was there, right? And then I forgot. But I just remember now. Because when you remember, they said they couldn't, so the captivity of Jerusalem had to take place afterwards. And that's when they were marching in captivity to Jerusalem. But that's why Daniel and his companion was able to stand firm, to stand firm.
If
you remember or
not? No, I don't remember. I think in this thing that I'm going to read is on the bridge that the king asked his men to go to the prophetess to ask. To ask the prophetess on seeking God's word.
Because verse 11 would say, now it happened when the king heard the word of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. So who is the king if it wasn't Josiah?
Yeah, also thinking it's not Josiah then.
Pardon?
I was thinking the same, that the king is not Josiah. So,
because it doesn't say somebody else replaced him, was still there.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like he himself probably didn't know until the book was read to him.
Probably.
Well.
Sorry, Marianne.
Okay, sorry. Okay, the gravity of the situation and the respect in which he held the prophetess lead him to choose as his messenger to her the first men of the kingdom. Go ye, he bade them, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. That is in verse 13. Through, yes.
Read up to 17 and then I'll give you the reference.
Okay.
You want me to read it? No, you read it.
Okay. Now in 13, go ye inquire the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Helkiah the priest and Ahikam and Akbor and Shaphan and Azahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched.
Yes. Yes, it's because the comment from Prophet and King said from verse 15 to 17, said times runs out, because then he talked of Eldad the prophet. Said through Eldad the Lord sent Josiah word that Jerusalem ruin could not be averted. So it was like too late. Even should the people now humble themselves before God, they could not escape their punishment. So long they had senses been deadened, so long had their senses been deadened by wrongdoing, that if judgment should not come upon them, they would soon return to the same sinful course. There you go. So the thing was so bad that although they found, it's like, you know, things are so bad, you find the Bible and you read it, but situation is so bad that it's too late. Kind of thing. This is the picture I get. So the situation was so bad that they had to be punished. And in a way, it's good. It makes sense because it said, yes, you see, and escape the pain. So long are their senses been deadened by wrongdoing that if the judgment should not come upon them, they would soon return to the same sinful course. So time and time we saw that in Deuteronomy also. One king did right, and then the next one came and did bad, and it went on and on.
Interestingly, at what age did he become king?
Eight.
Who was before him? Ammon, evil king. He did all that is wrong in the eyes of the Lord. So look now, you will see. When Ammon died, that young child took over, and he did what is right, as his father David.
Yeah.
So it's not always that wrong will follow wrong. It depends on the education. Obviously, he must have had a good education at that time. The prophets, the seers, or whatever, they must have given him the right type of thing that he needs to know.
I think, because he was still 8 years old, I think the people around him must have been worshiping God. That's why he'd been taught, or he'd been guided. So he had been doing the right thing in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah, because verse 17 says that. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. So maybe they reached the limit of the worst of the worst.
That's what the Bible talks about the remnant. There's always a remnant. There has always been the work for years. Those who follow God. What do? We talk about our days of today. What are the examples that they set into this world?
Okay, I'm going to continue the last paragraph. But because the king had humbled his heart before God, the Lord would acknowledge his promptness in seeking forgiveness and mercy. To him was sent the message, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thy eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place.
Okay. And there is a reference for the last verse, Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. And he said, the righteous Israel shall die like idolatry. That's the title. He said, the righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their bed, each one walking in his own righteousness, upright, and uprightness. So, in the end, the light, whether they suffer, nobody noticed, they would still be walking in his uprightness. I don't know if that's helpful, Mariam.
Yes. I'm just going to read, when I search Huldah in the internet, it said, Huldah appears in the books of Kings and Chronicles. His story involves a scroll discovered in the temple during the reign of the king Josiah. Huldah is depicted as a temple prophet who validates a scroll called the Book of the Law, or Covenant, purportedly found in the temple during repairs ordered by King Josiah, the last of Judah's good kings. He reigned 640 to 609 BCE.
There's a point in here. How did they find the Book of the Law?
It said they found the temple during repairs ordered by King Josiah.
That's how they found the book. Because they were looking at the money, they were I call it the tidying, right? And they found that book. They brought it to the king. That's a book of the law. So we can't hide away. We cannot lose the law. It will always be there.
And then it says here, the Chronicles, the allusion to the Book of the Law of the Lord given through Moses, may suggest that the later author's assumption that it was the whole Pentateuch.
This shows you that all these books are interrelated in a sense. When you do this, you do that way.
If you give it a modern day application, it's like a family that is nominal Christian finding a Bible in a loft somewhere covered with dust, then realizing they've been neglecting what's written in it.
Yeah,
you are right, Helma.
They're demolishing the place, aren't they? So they find among the rubble, in a sense.
If you have any thoughts, because that's it for me, from me.
Well, God could see where Josiah's heart was, and he did what he could for him, but still it was necessary for so many things to be changed. And it was good that Sister Noelle was able to read from Chronicles about smashing of the idols and that sort of thing.
Where was that? Who was that?
Ellie was looking at the cross reference in Chronicles, wasn't she? Where it
reading
on it talks about the things that were smashed up, the idols and all that. Yeah.
Someone was also telling about they're smashing idols. Is it in India?
Moses also, when he came down from the mountain, when he found this golden calf, he smashed it and broke in a dust and put the dust in the river.